The government is giving Pacific countries more money to help them adapt to climate change. It's boosting by 50% the existing assistance commitment of $200 million in over 4 years to 2019. The announcement was made this morning by the Prime Minister in New York.
That was how RNZ's news bulletin got underway at 6 a.m. last Tuesday, and that was pretty big news for the Pacific from our PM at the UN. But that wasn't all she said that day, which made the news that morning.
Meanwhile, Ms Ardern has joked with American breakfast television hosts that the difficulty of taking a three-month-old baby on a long-haul flight is on par with running a country. She appeared early this morning on NBC's Today Show.
1 hour later on Morning Report, the PM's joke was the lead story.
The first topic of discussion was mixing motherhood with leadership, with Ms Ardern saying she now appreciates even more the work mothers do. She was then asked about her belief in compassionate government.
She's in favour of it, for the record. Morning Report's listeners were reminded that the Today Show is watched by 4 million Americans and that she was on it for 3.5 minutes, most of which Morning Report listeners heard soon after on the programme. Meanwhile, over on talk radio station News Talk ZB at 7, their lead story was this.
Climate change has taken centre stage for the Prime Minister in New York today.
But 1 hour later, climate change in the Pacific was no longer centre stage.
The Prime Minister has been interviewed on America's Today Show in front of a breakfast TV audience of 4 million people. Donald Trump is expected to dominate the week of top-level meetings. But US correspondent Nick Bryant told Mike Hosking Ardern is still managing to get noticed among the crowd.
There are more than 120 world leaders gathering in New York this week, and pretty much all eyes are on one. But I've never seen a New Zealand Prime Minister on the Today Show before.
Neither have around 326 million Americans who weren't watching NBC on Monday. Now, the night before that, News Hub political editor Tova O'Brien was certainly looking forward to the show.
Jacinda Ardern kicks off her day with her appearance on the Today Show, an audience of more than 4 million viewers. That is the first of the big three media appearances she has over here, also appearing on CNN and The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And the Prime Minister will be very anxious about coming across well on these shows. You'll remember when John Key did The Late Show with David Letterman, that top 10 segment he did ended up being less about promoting New Zealand, more about a kind of collective cultural cringe from the country.
And John Key on the Letterman show reading out those scripted gags back in 2009 certainly was cringeworthy. Now, those US late-night TV chat shows have always been built around the publicity industry's needs. Guests who want to promote something, even if it's just themselves, are juggled by the producers who pack them in weeknight after weeknight. And it's pretty rare that any appearance or commercial plug lasts all that long in the minds of the US viewers. So if Tova O'Brien really meant it when she said this about Jacinda Ardern's visit in that same report...
Mike, Jacinda Ardern is one of 140 world leaders here. She has a real opportunity to talk to the world with a megaphone on the world stage at a stage when the world is feeling particularly unstable.
Wouldn't it really be a bit of a waste of time talking to a relatively small number of couch-bound Americans on early morning and late-night TV shows where any meaningful messages would be buried by chit-chat about family matters and whatever other entertainment was on those shows? By Tuesday, Jacinda Ardern had also had a chat with the UN's boss.
For Ardern's first date, UN boss Antonio Guterres, better known in New Zealand as the guy who got Helen Clark's job.
But that was, of course, never Helen Clark's job. She was one of several candidates for it 2 years ago.
Did you raise Helen Clark with the Secretary-General?
No, I had no cause to.
There have been 9 Secretaries-General, not one of them a woman. Ardern's talking a big game about combating sexism while in New York, but didn't think to raise it with the man who derailed her mentor, Clark.
No, my opportunity was to raise issues of interest to New Zealand.
Helen Clark, for the record, wasn't the only female candidate thought to have a shot at the top job. A bit of cultural cringe going on there as well, perhaps. Now, there was, of course, also huge media interest internationally in Jacinda Ardern as a new mum and with baby Neve at the UN. On 3's AM show, the pundits certainly seem to think that exposure itself equaled some sort of success.
You know, look at the way she first started out with her campaign, or her campaign. Literally with her campaign, but getting herself into Vogue magazine and the principles that she added into there around that. You know, she's creating policies that she believes in, and she's been in politics since she was, what, 12?
And alongside entrepreneurial expert Catherine Nugent, the hard-bitten former political editor at News Hub, Patrick Gower, weighed in with this.
Jacinda Ardern is a political phenomenon. We're just starting to see it on the international stage now. I mean, this is a bombastic arrival by a world leader.
Little more than a year ago, Jacinda Ardern was just an MP. And this week, she was one of 140 national leaders at the UN. But a world leader? Too soon to say that yet, surely. Interestingly, Jacinda Ardern herself on the Today Show said that she believed in politics without ego, one of the few things that she said in New York which would have been of genuine interest to her peers around the world. But back at the AM show, Patrick Gower had more in the tank.
I used to trail around with John Key where he would battle and fight for moments like this. Wow. It's been handed to her on a plate. Mm. You can tell that she's enjoying it. You can tell that, that Clark is enjoying it. And I think it's great, and we've got to embrace it.
It was then left to the AM show's resident curmudgeon Mark Richardson to argue that exposure and optics are not a true measure of true success in international diplomacy. Earlier this month, Newstalk ZB's Heather Duplessis-Allen called Jacinda Ardern stupid and wrong for travelling to the Pacific Islands Forum in Nauru. But after arriving in the US, she hailed Jacinda Ardern as outshining predecessors like John Key and Helen Clark in her Herald on Sunday column last weekend, as if it was some sort of competition.
If you don't think Ardern's got her all over Clark and Key, just look at The Late Show. Key had to pay consultants thousands to get him on that show. Ardern paid no one. The Late Show called her.
So why would that be? Well, Heather Duplessis-Allen summed up the appeal of Jacinda Ardern.
A young, progressive leader with a baby. Ardern has captured the zeitgeist of our time.
Zeitgeist, of course, actually means of our time. And Heather Duplessis-Allen went on to write this about Jacinda Ardern's appeal to her peers.
World leaders will no doubt also want FaceTime with the PM. So far, few of them have met her. They'll be curious. And a photo with someone as cool as New Zealand's PM will do a lot to win over progressive voters in whichever country they come from.
But where in the world would votes really be won and lost by a Jacinda Ardern photo opportunity? As if they're perpetually thinking about which candidates, parties and movements they'll back in elections which might be years away. Heather Duplessis-Allen also wasn't the only one talking up Jacinda Ardern's international cred.
Ardern has also become the torch carrier for progressive politics as a young woman who breaks the mould in a world where the political strongman is on the rise. She is a foil to the muscular diplomacy of the likes of US President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin.
That was the take of Stuff's political editor Tracy Watkins in New York. Meanwhile, back in New Zealand, Herald reporter Matt Nippert was puzzled.
Casting by local media of the UN General Assembly as a civilization-shaking showdown between the schools of Ardern and Trump is kind of weird.
But not according to TVNZ One News, which Wendy Petrie introduced this way last Tuesday.
Our Prime Minister is at the centre of a pivotal moment for the future of the United Nations in New York. Amid escalating tensions with Iran, the US President has slammed the UN's ability to sort out critical global issues.
But straight after that, her co-presenter Peter Williams said this.
But while Jacinda Ardern's already attracting a lot of attention herself, she's keen to avoid any controversy surrounding Donald Trump.
Which, if true, would actually take the Prime Minister out of the centre of any row over the UN's future and put her on the sidelines. Reporter Rebecca Wright's take on TVNZ One News was this.
But the Prime Minister clearly has a strategy. She's here to talk about promoting multilateralism, New Zealand values and trade, and avoid getting tangled up in any controversy that may surround the President of the United States.
And that's what almost every leader of a capitalist trading nation does every time they go to a UN General Assembly. It's UN Diplomacy 101. On Wednesday morning, with more US TV coverage of Jacinda Ardern coming, the AM show's Duncan Garner asked the CEO of Tourism New Zealand this question.
Does it actually mean, wow, suddenly we're going to fill the planes and people are coming here?
Not perhaps in the way you might think. I think what Jacinda Ardern is doing right now on the world stage is adding more, if you like, dreaming content. There's more people out there thinking about New Zealand because of her.
Well, for tourism bosses, any Jacinda publicity is good publicity, even if it's only based on what he called dreaming content. And that makes sense for them, though our news media should be looking for something a bit more substantial. On Thursday, it was another day, another US TV appearance, and RNZ's website had this lead headline in the afternoon.
Jacinda Ardern has won applause from The Late Show's studio audience in New York.
Though applause doesn't usually have to be earned on those US talk shows, the audience is more or less told to applaud whoever turns up and when to do it. But not so at the UN's General Assembly, where Jacinda Ardern spoke on Friday morning our time. Now there she raised serious issues of global concern, speaking up for multilateralism, climate change policy and about the limits of globalism and equality. And RNZ's deputy political editor Chris Bramwell told Morning Report, Jacinda Ardern won genuine applause there.
Been here all morning and I've seen about 8 speeches, and that was the only one that got any applause in the middle of it. And there was a group of women up in the gallery where I was who were whooping.
But even so, Jacinda Ardern's speech didn't get the kind of attention she got when she arrived at the UN with her family earlier in the week. So have our media then been giving us the wrong idea about Jacinda Ardern's actual impact at the UN? Soon after Jacinda Ardern's speech on Friday, I asked an independent observer, the BBC's New York correspondent, Nick Bryant.
Virtually all the media attention has been on Donald Trump. But she has received a lot of attention by the international media. The New York Times call her a global sensation. I was struck by our 10 o'clock news. That's our flagship news show in Britain the other night, the day that Donald Trump gave his big speech at the UN General Assembly. It ran pretty late in the day, and they asked, could we sort of leave her in the shots of her with the baby in that auditorium. We didn't in the end. It just didn't feel like it quite fitted, especially since that footage was from the day before. But I think that's indicative of the sort of level of attention she's getting. She's the debutante here, and she is the most interesting debutante at UNGA this year.
Indeed, one of our leading political editors here spoke of Jacinda Ardern in the middle of the week, as you know, that the world was looking at her as a kind of foil to the likes of Trump and Putin, these patriotic, strongmen, authoritarian leaders. She isn't Angela Merkel or anything like that, is she? She's one of the least experienced leaders at this gathering of, you know, 100 plus leaders from around the world. So what she has to say wouldn't really be up there with, you know, the leaders with genuine clout who are, you know, a genuine counterweight to Trump.
I think that's true. I think that a lot of the coverage of her has been related to the new mum and getting far more attention, obviously, than the substance of what she's had to say. I mean, frankly, not much of what happened on Monday at that meeting to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the birth of Nelson Mandela really cut through at all. Everybody in America right now is not watching what's happening at UNGA, as we call it. They're watching the Kavanaugh hearings on Capitol Hill. She seems publicly reluctant to go up against the Trump administration. But, I mean, it reminds me in many ways of Justin Trudeau's presence in previous years. I mean, and again, set up as a kind of counterweight to Donald Trump, this idea that liberty has moved north, that the Trump-Trudeau divide kind of highlights the great global divide in politics right now between a kind of nationalistic right and a kind of left-leaning progressive movement. Not to the same extent as Trudeau, not to the same extent certainly as Macron. I think Macron sort of embraces that role.
But Nick, now that she has had the world's attention for whatever reason, even if it's the novelty factor, do you think that journalists, diplomatic journalists, foreign affairs journalists from around the world, having seen her here, will get her on their speed dial and she will start appearing in, you know, internationally influential reporting?
Look, I think star power really does translate these days into soft power, giving a sense of the character of a country. And I think Jacinda Ardern does that. And, you know, inevitably, you know, when there is a leader that has stirred a lot of interest around the world, people are going to listen more closely to what she has to say. I mean, I think she is being taken seriously by the sort of journalists who cover these events, who are foreign affairs types and diplomatic journalists.
I mean, coincidentally, you and I think, were both working out of BBC News in London 20-odd years ago when Tony Blair was elected. And there it was a similar sort of thing. You know, they called him Bambi. And the media really bought into that, didn't they? And yet, you know, after 10 years in power, it was very much different. They weren't calling him Bambi anymore. They were calling him Belier after the Iraq controversy. So buying into this sort of soft focus stuff in the early days can kind of backfire on the media, can't it, in the long run?
It may be. I mean, there's certainly a honeymoon effect of a new leader. And sure, I mean, that coverage can change very fast. Justin Trudeau hasn't had anywhere near the kind of level of attention that he got when he first arrived. The key thing is, I guess, for these new leaders is to maximise debutante status to full effect. And I get the feeling that Jacinda Ardern's team would be pretty happy with how that's gone this week.
Yeah, and Nick, earlier this week you spoke to Mike Hosking on another of our radio broadcasters. He asked you if we here in New Zealand weren't getting a bit small village about this and overexcited about the international attention our leader gained. It strikes me you might have been spending quite a bit of time amongst the diplomats, because you gave a very diplomatic answer because you didn't kind of want to say, yes, you are.
Well, Colin, I'll tell you what I did when I was writing my preview piece for UNGA this year. I was thinking about putting in Jacinda Ardern, and in the end I didn't, because I did think all of this week pretty much would be focused on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, all of this week has ended up being focused on Donald Trump. I don't want to call her a sideshow, but, you know, clearly the most meaningful presence this week was the President of the United States railing against globalism in an institution that was designed to uphold it. So, I mean, that's been the key story of the week. But as I say, I mean, it's been, you know, a significant coverage, and it hasn't all been celebrity coverage for Jacinda Ardern. There has been a substantive element to it as well, and I think that that's significant. I'd also say right now, if you're looking for a kind of antipodean star power, an antipodean staying power, then you find it in New Zealand right now rather than Australia.
Nick Bryant, the BBC's New York correspondent, covering the UN General Assembly in New York and Jacinda Ardern's impact on it.